It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome on in. Thursday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Cole Bear, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is June 8th of 2023. Thank you so much for being here, whether you're tuned in on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Hope you're having a great day. Make sure you follow us on Twitter if you're there, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBert. Like the Facebook page. Type in 1650TheFan. You'll find us. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. And make sure you bookmark that website, not just for the stream, but also for all the local, statewide, and national sports you can find there, along with a whole bunch of audio podcasts on demand, 1650thefan.com. Dial me up if you have any questions or comments to add to the show, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show if you'd rather do that than call with questions or comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, fire away. Send me a message electronically, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Like usual, we'll get it going here in just a few short moments with area sports news and scores for your Thursday. Plenty to get to in the stack, like usual. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one and get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. They'll get you set if you want to wager on tonight's Cubs game, which, of course, you'll hear right here on The Fan. It's the series finale of the Cubs in Los Angeles as they continue their West Coast trip. As I mentioned, the series finale, they take on the Angels pregame at 8 and first pitch of that one at 8:35. After the VSiN action update, you'll also get a forecast for the rest of this Thursday looking into tomorrow and Saturday from Megan Mulford. We'll come back from that first time out and friend of the show, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist, current Denver Post sports reporter and columnist Sean Keeler will join the show. Sean got the South Beach assignment. He is joining us from Miami to recap Denver's Game 3 win over Miami last night in the NBA Finals. The Nuggets continue to play a brand of basketball that I will continue to say on this program that hasn't covered the NBA very closely. This is top shelf basketball. This is great stuff to watch. You should be watching it. And they're now up 2-1 in that series after going on Miami's floor and getting a 109-94 win last night. Sean was there. He's going to break it down for us. And then as well, it was either yesterday or 2 days ago that leadership at the University of Colorado was going to be meeting, and the speculation was that a lot of that meeting had to do with the potential departure for the Buffaloes from the Pac-12 back to the Big 12 conference, as Colorado and Arizona have been the two heavily rumored Pac-12 schools that if any are going to leave this summer and go someplace else, Arizona, Colorado have come up most frequently to go to the Big 12, in Colorado's case, back to the Big 12. So we'll ask Sean about that as well when he joins us in the next segment today here on the program. After we're done talking with Sean, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that break in the third segment. Got some audio to get to from former Iowa State quarterback Brock Purdy, who is rehabbing from Tommy John surgery. Injury, of course, he suffered in the playoffs with the 49ers last season. Where did things stand with his rehab? Also, a couple of former Iowa Hawkeys trying to either continue to or begin to cement their status in the NFL, Tristan Wirfs and Riley Moss. So a little bit of this and that as it comes to the third segment with some audio I want to make sure to bring you today on the show. After we're done there, we'll take a final timeout, get you Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Thursday edition of the show. All right, was talking about this a little bit yesterday. Wanted to get to it, but just time prevented us from doing so. So carried it over into today, and that is the Madden curse, right? I would imagine that so many of you out there have played Madden, whether it be, you know, the latest and greatest on PlayStation 5 or is it Xbox One, I think? I'm getting old now. I would have never not known that if you go back at least 5 years now. But anyways, the Madden curse. And this is a thing where if you're a Cubs fan, I don't know how you couldn't have believed in a curse. Or, you know, I know there are probably maybe as many people out there that believe in curses as don't. But Josh Allen, who by no means, don't get it twisted, I am not at all trying to put any ill will on this young man. I really enjoy watching him play. And if Logan Blackman is listening, I would hope that it would go without saying. I'm not trying to speak anything into existence, but you listen to this rap sheet, if you will, and tell me that the Madden curse is not a thing. And the game's been around since like the mid-late 90s, and that's where the rap sheet begins, okay? So just to reset here, Josh Allen yesterday, the outstanding Buffalo Bills quarterback, named the cover athlete for Madden 24, and the long-rumored Madden curse, I say, I don't think that's a rumor. Just listen to this rap sheet, and you tell me. We start in 1999. Madden 99. Garrison Hurst, you remember him? Outstanding running back for the San Francisco 49ers. He was on the international edition of Madden, suffered a gruesome broken ankle in the playoffs that season against the Falcons. We go to Madden 2000. Barry Sanders on the cover alongside John Madden in 2000. He unexpectedly retired prior to the start of that season. We go to Madden 2001. Eddie George, the outstanding Oilers and Titans running back, right? He enjoyed a very successful season. He is one of the few exceptions to the rule. He skirted by the Madden curse. However, a year later, Madden 2002, Dante Culpepper, coming off of an outstanding 2001 season, suffered a season-ending knee injury late in the year. Madden 2003, once again, 1 year later, Marshall Faulk, love Marshall Faulk. He suffered an ankle injury that shelved him for a pair of games, and that season was the last that Marshall Faulk would rush for over 1,000 yards. We go to 2004, Madden 2004, Michael Vick suffered a fractured fibula during the preseason and missed 11 games in that 2003 campaign. Madden 2005, Ray Lewis suffered a broken wrist that forced him to sit out the final game of the 2004 season. It was the first time he had missed a game in 2 years since 2002. Donovan McNabb, Madden 2006, injured his groin during a Week 10 matchup with the Cowboys, was placed on season-ending IR later that week. Madden 2007, Sean Alexander, outstanding Seahawks running back, the reigning MVP, suffered a broken foot in Week 3. returned late in the season. Madden 2008, Vince Young missed a game after dealing with a quad injury. It would be the only game he would miss that season, but you could say in the long run that the Madden curse got the best of a once highly touted Vince Young. Madden 2009, Brett Favre was retired when he was named the cover athlete for the game, returned to play for the Jets. While he wouldn't miss a game, he would suffer an injured biceps tendon. Jets would fall out of the playoff race, and, well, then Favre got involved in some off-the-field trouble as well. Madden 2010, Larry Fitzgerald and Troy Polamalu. The first game to feature multiple cover stars means double the chance someone gets hurt. Polamalu missed time dealing with a career-threatening knee injury. Fitzgerald dealt with injuries to his knee and elbow, but he played through it. 2011 Madden, Drew Brees. He avoided injury, helped lead the Saints to the playoffs. They would lose, though, to the 7-9 Seahawks. Remember that? 7-9 Seahawks in the wild card round. It was a big upset, and the Saints lost. I have a whole nother side to this sheet. Peyton Hillis, Madden 2012. Hillis was voted the cover athlete by fans, and it turned out to be a mistake. He dealt with hamstring issues during the season and sat out games with strep throat. Calvin Johnson, Madden 2013, the Lions wide receiver avoided the curse. One of just a handful put together one of the greatest receiving seasons in NFL history. However, just like Barry Sanders, he retired early. Adrian Peterson, Madden 2014, it was called Madden 25 for the anniversary of the game. He suffered a foot sprain in Week 16, also dealt with a groin injury that same season. He would undergo surgery following that 2014 season. Madden 2015, Richard Sherman, the Seahawks defensive back, played in all 16 regular season games, but he had to undergo Tommy John surgery following the Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. Odell Beckham Jr., Madden 2016, Beckham dealt with a couple of lingering hamstring issues and was given a one-game suspension late in the season after an altercation with Panthers corner Josh Norman. And I think just given the way things have played out for OBJ since, call it the Madden curse if you want. You could. Rob Gronkowski, Madden 2017. Gronk played in 8 games that season, started just 6. He was dealing with 3 separate injuries, suffered a hamstring injury, forced him to sit out a few games, a pulmonary contusion, and a back injury that required season-ending surgery. Tom Brady, Madden 2018. He followed up a Patriot feature game with a Patriot featured cover of his own. As it turns out, the Madden curse could not get the best of the GOAT, Tom Brady. He played in all 16 games, won MVP, led the Patriots to the Super Bowl. That's the one where they were defeated by Nick Foles and the Eagles. So was that the curse? Maybe, maybe not. You tell me. Madden 2019, Antonio Brown. He suffered a knee injury in the penultimate game of the 2018 season, but reports say that he missed time because of issues with the team. It would be his last season in a Steeler uniform. And then finally, Lamar Jackson, Madden 2021. He would miss a single game in 2020 when he was added to the COVID list. He would also suffer a small knee injury and play through it. However, he's been dealing with nagging injuries ever since. Do you believe in the Madden curse? There's a lot of evidence right here. My hope is that Josh Allen is one of the few that's able to withstand the powers that seem to exist of the Madden video game curse. I thought that was pretty interesting, though, because I remember hearing about that when I was much younger, and the quote-unquote rap sheet of it just continues to grow. So knocking on wood for Josh Allen, and we'll see what Logan Blackman has to say tomorrow. He's going to join us on the show. Also, a quick note, joining us tomorrow on the show, former Cedar Falls and UNI standout Milwaukee Bucks guard A.J. Green is going to join us at 5:15 on tomorrow's show, so make a note of that. All right, let's dive in. Area sports news and scores for your Thursday in high school sports last night. Metro baseball, Des Moines Roosevelt swept a doubleheader from Waterloo East. Grundy Center edged Waterloo Columbus 3-2. In Metro softball, Dubuque Hempstead swept a doubleheader from Cedar Falls. Cedar Rapids Jefferson slipped past Waterloo West 4-3, and Columbus Catholic rolled past Grundy Center 12-0. The final Iowa high school team tennis rankings have been released. The Cedar Falls boys finished the year ranked 7th in Class 2A. Meanwhile, in the girls' rankings, Cedar Falls also ends the year ranked 7th in 2A. Waterloo Columbus, of course, finishes the year in Class 1A as the top-ranked team. The Iowa High School Soccer Coaches Association has released its boys and girls all-state teams, and a whole bunch of area players have been named. Starting on the boys' side, Class 4A first team, Waterloo West, Isaac Kelgba. Three Grundy Center Gladbrook Rhinebeck players made 1A first team, Tyler Nolder, Austin Betts, and Isaac Clark. Making the 1A second team, Waterloo Columbus's Caleb Holthouse, Hudson's Blake Carolyn, Grundy Center Gladbrook Rhinebeck's Aiden Huenmuller, and Max Anderson. Going to girls All-State honorees in the area, Cedar Falls' Ella Eubin was named to the 3A second team. A pair of Waverly Shell Rock players made the 2A first team, Anna Stromberg and Caitlin Egana. On the 2A second team, Waverly Shell Rock's Lindsay Overman and Allie Seegers. On the 1A first team, Waterloo Columbus's Becca DeFore, Grace Hennessy of Denver, and Hudson's Amelia Klenk and Savannah Schneider. Tonight in Metro Baseball, Waterloo Columbus on the road at Appleton Parkersburg. The Waterloo Columbus softball team also on the road at AP. In other Metro softball games, Cedar Falls on the road at Linmar, and Waterloo East plays a doubleheader at Waterloo West. The Waterloo Blackhawks have released their 2023-24 schedule. The Blackhawks' first two official games will be part of the USHL's Fall Classic in Pennsylvania in late September, like usual. The Hawks' home opener on Saturday, October 14th, against Omaha. It will be the first of 13 Saturday home games at Young Arena this season. For a complete schedule, go to waterlooblackhawks.com. Of course, The Fan, your home for Blackhawks hockey. Rochester rallied to beat the Waterloo Bucks 5-4 last night. Waterloo now 4-6 this season, four games behind first place in the Great Plains East Division. The Bucks open a two-game series at St. Cloud tonight. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, Sean Keeler joins us, South Beach Sean Keeler from Miami. We break down Game 3. The Nuggets took a 2-1 lead. And Sean, what can you tell us? There's more and more smoke out there about potentially Colorado and Arizona joining the Big 12 as soon as this summer. We'll see what Sean has to tell us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Isaac Lohengrin.
Multiple outlets report that the Denver Broncos are signing two-time Super Bowl champion and three-time Pro Bowl pass rusher Frank Clark to a one-year deal. Clark spent the past four seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs. Pro Football Talk reported that the Minnesota Vikings are expected to release running back Dalvin Cook tomorrow if they're unable to trade him today. The Carolina Panthers elevated rookie number one overall pick Bryce Young to the number one quarterback spot on their depth chart. Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra told reporters today that guard Tyler Hero still has not been cleared to play in the NBA Finals as he continues to recover from a broken right hand. The Heat trails Denver 2-1 at Game 4. Is tomorrow night. And longtime Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick will step down in 2024. He'll be succeeded by NBC Sports chairman Pete Bevacqua.
This is Ron Coomer. Join me and the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes for Cubs baseball right here on The Fan.
Hi there, Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
You're invited to My Waterloo Days, June 8th through the 11th in downtown Waterloo, featuring a parade, two music stages, headliners, Genuine, Ying Yang Twins, and Blessed Union of Souls. Kids activities, teen stage, fireworks, and much more. Free admission. Visit MyWaterlooDays.com.
My name is Roger Klinkfuss. I own Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. I've worked on vehicles all my life. I treat everybody the way I want to be treated. Give everybody the best deal I can. I don't upsell to generate a better profit margin. Treat them fair and give them a good price.
Family-owned Slumberland Furniture is proud to support organizations and events in the Cedar Valley. Focused on a mission to improve the lives of their customers and strengthen the community, Slumberland donates to local charities each year. All about family and community. Slumberland Furniture at College Square, Cedar Falls.
This is Dan Knipp with Air Services Heating and Air Conditioning. We provide both commercial and residential installations or replacements. We focus a lot on customer relationships. You can find us on the web, airservicesHVAC.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Juice Reel, the betting intelligence tool that's making better bettors. Open the App Store and get your hands on Juice Reel. Start betting smarter. Juice R-E-E-L. Juice Reel. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Drew Smyly getting the start for the Cubs tonight as Chicago wraps up their series with the Angels in Anaheim. Los Angeles countering with three Detmers. Chicago minus 172 on the run line. They're getting a run and a half. The Angels minus a run and a half plus 142. On the money line, Chicago plus 116. The Angels minus 136. Over-under is at 9. NBA Finals, Denver defeated Miami in Game 3 on Wednesday night, 109-94. They have a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 of the series will be on Friday. Nuggets opening up as a 4-point favorite. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony Desiri, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. 53 tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, high of 82. Overcast skies tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms, lows level off around 59. 80 Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms. 73 Sunday, chance for storms continues. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 79.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. Yeah, I'm here to do it again. Make no apologies for how much I'm liking these NBA Finals. And last night in Game 3, the Denver Nuggets go to South Beach and they get a 109-94 win, and wouldn't you know it, friend of the show, former longtime Des Moines Register columnist, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter Sean Keeler has the assignment. He's in South Beach. South Beach Sean is here. How you doing today, Mr. Keeler?
South Beach. I'm nowhere near South Beach. They don't let me take my shirt off down here. It's a felony.
They wouldn't let me take mine off either, for what it's worth, you know.
They won't let me take my shirt off in Colorado, but it's not criminal there. Here, it's just frowned upon so much. It's delightful. When it's not monsooning, it's great.
Yeah.
It is unusual that we're feels like we're in the only state in the Union that doesn't have Canadian wildfire smoke trickling in somewhere, because instead we just have monsoons and borderline flooding everywhere we go. But it is my first business trip to Miami that doesn't involve football or a bowl game or the Super Bowl. So I'd have to say it's a lot for Iowa patrons who've been down here for Orange Bowls. It's a lot better in December and January, February than it is in June. June, it's just muggy.
I would imagine so. To dig in on the basketball last night, as I mentioned, 109-94, the Nuggets get the win. They're ahead 2-1. In the series now, and I'm not saying anything that nobody doesn't already have awareness of, Sean, but in particular with last night's game, I thought that Denver's talent and maybe more so Denver's size really showed up in how that game played itself out last night. What did you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good take and a good takeaway from that. It was kind of an effort counterpunch. I think of all the things, you know, Michael Malone, one of his charms, I say in air quotes, is that he's kind of perpetually unhappy. I think I can empathize with him, and I have a bond with him in that regard. So, and he's not shy about complaining with whatever's bothering him at any given moment. In fact, did you see, because he keeps a constant public monologue in his post-game news conference, the setup here, and this is a totally tangential thing, but in the spirit of Michael Malone, he starts praising Christian Brown, the rookie,
yeah,
from Kansas. And in the middle of the, he got about two sentences in, and he looks up, and we're in kind of a makeshift half of a airplane hangar that they've just stuck curtains on, but the noises are everywhere. It's not a soundproof news conference. Michael is used to soundproof news conferences, shall we say, or things away from the fans. And you've got people screaming, let's do this, and let's go clubbing in the background while he's talking. And he's praising Bryant, and he's like, this is, what a great rookie, for a kid. He acts so much older than his age, and he goes, what a terrible room this is. Everyone just looks at him, and there's probably a clip of me laughing because he's so New York, he cannot contain it. He just out it comes.
He's going to call a spade a spade. He can't help it.
I think it's an awful announcer in one of those broadcasting segments. Michael Malone complains about the room, and I just laugh because, again, when people are kind of curmudgeonly and crotchety the way that basically Malone, Jokic, and Jamal Murray are, it's a general rule that their weirdness doesn't throw us off, and it just completely discombobulates the national writers. It's just like, what is this insane, what's this traveling asylum circus you have coming here and doing things? And it's the Nuggets way. What they do.
They haven't been into the rough country that we have when it comes to post-game press conferences.
Survive some of those, you can survive. Well, they missed out on Johnny Orr, a lot of these kids. They missed out on the good stuff, too. Johnny Orr and Mike Malone. I should ask Michael if he's ever met Johnny Orr. That would have been the most NC-17 rated conversation I could think of between the two of those gentlemen. Ooh, here we go. Yeah, Michael Malone. Ooh, that Jokic guy. I was going to sign him. He would have been great. He would have been really good. It would have been good for us.
Credit to you for always making it local. You do such a great job.
I do that for Jay Norvell when I see him before a column. I'll just say completely inappropriate things. That's my impersonation of Rick Brown, a retired former Des Moines Register teammate doing his Johnny Orr. It's just a bad impersonation of a bad impersonation. That's all I know. But you had a basketball question about size, as I recall.
Yes.
Before I went off that tangent. Yeah, and that was Miami's counter game, too, was going bigger, air quotes, with Kevin Love and getting Jimmy buckets on Jamal Murray because basically, we make this complicated, but statistically, when Murray's okay to bad or just pretty good, the Nuggets lose. When he's really good, they win. And they got him going, and he just kind of knew after the first quarter, even though it was close, until the third, I just thought, you got Murray going, you're in trouble. Like, it's pretty much that simple. Because I could see Eric Spoelstra thinking, oh, no, because that was my big game two innovation, was throwing my best player who's got more reach at their best shooter and seeing what happened. And it didn't matter this time, and that should probably worry him and his fans if he's still there. Somewhat, because he literally, Jokic is good no matter what, monsoon, dry weather, Mars, Earth, he just does what he does, and you can't really stop it. You're not going to get 30, 20, and 10, but you're going to get, like now watching him, you're going to get 20, 10 just waking up. You rolled out of bed at 20, 10. So Murray is kind of the access point for how these games go, and he got into them. And they could not figure him out. And the big guys are boxing out to let him get some rebounds. And when he's going, you're just in trouble. And it is too much to deal with that two-man game if they're both going. And they are the best basketball team on the planet when they have that going.
And Sean,
I'll be curious to see if they do on Friday, too.
For as much as Nuggets fans have had their consternation about not being talked about enough, I would say that if you wanted to really get into the weeds on that, Jamal Murray hasn't been talked about enough, right? And he was, like you point out, man, he was just outstanding. And when he's playing well, along with Jokic doing what he can just wake up and do, they're damn near unbeatable. But I want to add this. Now, Eric Spoelstra might say that I have an untrained eye like he did to Ramona Shelburne. But I do have to say that for a guy like myself that watches just loads and loads of basketball, I thought Aaron Gordon was really good and really important in so many moments in that game last night. And I know he's not a guy who knocks down three-pointers, but he brings so many other skills to his position of what I would call the new school power forward. I don't know if you can call it that anymore, but call it a new school power forward. And you talked about it last time about how much the organization believed and how important it was to trade for him a couple of seasons ago. He stood out to me for what it's worth. Like I said, Spo might say I have an untrained eye, but I thought he was really important last night in that win.
No, he was. And I think that's something that now, as we do the day after recaps, doesn't get enough love, because it's basically the storylines are Jokic, Murray, because they're always the storylines, generally good or bad, and more often good. Christian Braun's coming of age. Michael Porter Jr. continuing to kind of vanish because he's a max contract guy. And then you've got Aaron Gordon there, who's kind of option number four. And yet in this game, to your point, he was option number three in a really, really big way.
Yep.
And at really, really crucial times. And that he, you forget that he was a 20-shot-a-game all-star in Orlando, that he was one of those stars on a bad team being told, come to a super team. And that's, it sounds so weird to say, but that's what they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, this is a super team. I'm not saying it's a Bulls dynasty in the 90s, but this is one of the NBA's best two or three teams, slice it how you like. So he bought into that so much that when somebody sags off him, or that they're focusing so much and on Murray and Jokic, and the fact that Murray and Jokic have such basically really good basketball IQs, regardless, mm-hmm. the pair of them, despite of how they, which helps them work well together, obviously. But then they kind of know where option C is, and they can identify that. They can, and Michael Porter's not with it. Okay, he's going to get ignored. He just ends up standing there like me on a rec league, just waiting in the corner asking for the ball. And then the play just goes, watch him on plays that nothing happens with him.
Yeah.
The corner, he just kind of stands there. And you go, kid, you gotta do something other than just kind of gimme, gimme, gimme. Gordon's not that guy.
Nope.
If there is not a, there's a cut to you, there's something to be made, they've told him, okay, you may not get the ball when we run this set. Go crash. Go be that guy. Or your movement is going to open something up for one of the big two. Or because they are absolutely scared you-know-what-less with defending Jokic and Murray, as they should be.
Right.
Because they're starting to get tired out from that. They have Bam up there chasing Murray around instead of with that zone instead of a Jimmy B. And I thought, boy, they're playing Bam awfully high up. And you know what happens when you take Bam out of the paint?
You get rim runs.
You get rim runs. Here comes Aaron Gordon going, ooh, I'm a really good dunker. This is going to be really fun. And he had a lot of fun last night.
One last observation I had that I think is important for this series going forward. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, our guest right now from Miami, as Denver took a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals last night. We're breaking that down and looking ahead on how we think this is going to play out. The last thing I have, Sean, is watching that game last night, and I got mad respect for Miami's zone defense. It's not lost on me how years ago Rick Carlisle, when he was coach of the Dallas Mavericks, and the Miami Heat thought they were just going to automatically win that final series with the big three with LeBron and Bosch, that they were held in check, coincidentally, by a zone defense from the Dallas Mavericks at that point. So I got respect for the zone defense when it's supposed to be there. But I will say this. I know Miami plays it well, but there were moments last night. You see KCP, you see Bruce Brown, where Miami was a little tired. And then if you're a little tired in a zone defense, what are you going to do? You're going to stand. And there were just enough moments last night where you're going, this is kind of the time of the game where you feel like Miami makes a run and they get it back down to single digits. And who knows from there, because it's the NBA. But I thought they were standing a little bit in that zone because they were tired. And like I mentioned, KCP, Bruce Brown, they make some jump shots and they weren't able to make that late run like you thought they might have been able to. Did that register at all with you?
It did, and Brown does what he does so consistently. He's sort of the bench Jokic in that he just rarely has a bad 20 minutes to 25.
Yeah.
Wherever he puts in, your floor for him is pretty good. And he's playing on a contract year where he's going to get paid, and they're going to miss him. And if anything, that's also what makes what Christian Brown did so exciting for Nuggets fans here,
yeah.
is that basically the unwritten plan is when Brown gets paid and goes somewhere else, that Brown's Bruce Brown, that Brown with an R-A-U-N is going to get his minutes, and that's how the depth chart's going to get realigned somewhat, because that's going to be probably the big contract loss from this roster. It's a good spot by UKCP, like Michael Porter, when he doesn't get those first couple jumpers. Unlike Michael Porter, he will try to get harassed and get more at it on the defensive end to try to justify some of that time. But like Michael, when he's not hitting those jumpers, it's a little harder to get him going than it is some other people. But they played Reggie Jackson last night, you know, who has been in like sporadically four playoff games of these 18 off the top of my head now. So, you know, I've said this before on your show, it's such a well-built roster when it was healthy, and it took these 2 years to get it. You probably don't remember those 10 games. We a lot of Nuggets fans here went back to the 21 season, the spring of 21, right after that Aaron Gordon trade, and it was like a light switch came on. I think they played Boston one of those two games, and who was still pretty good then, and they blitzed the Celtics, I want to say, in one of those games. And I think they went 9-1 right after they got Gordon in the starting lineup, and all the national bloggers kind of went, huh. Like, it was a preview for what this playoffs has turned out to be.
Yeah.
This was, like, totally foretold. If you find that subset of games, you know, a basketball reference or whatever, you'd be like, wow, they were like, yeah, they went on a roll here. And then game number 11, I think, was when Murray and the Nuggets go to Golden State, and he tears his knee up in that fourth quarter, or whatever, second half of that game, and that was it. And it was like, the battery in the car just dropping out, and they just kind of went to pretty good, and they spent 2 years being pretty good with this monster, you know, center, and you know, you're crocking. Your Cthulhu center who can do everything and makes no sense to anybody, or whatever mythical term you want. Unicorn? He's too big for a unicorn. You know, just this strange thing. But, like, it's a lot different when he's feeding to Austin Rivers and Faku Campazzo as opposed to Jamal Murray and KCP. This is them as they envisioned this thing 2 years ago, and they're kind of finally there. It's just a well put together group, and the people they added at the end, like Christian Braun out of Kansas with an AUN, just has been icing on top, and they can just layer it at you. And ultimately, it's why I think they will win this series. Now, whether it's five or six gets to be the question, because I think Miami is going to be absolute. This has been such an emotional series that way too, that I felt game two the Nuggets were a little fat and happy, and they got punched in the mouth and didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I knew with Malone, every time he threw everybody under the bus. You know, back to Malone again. He just came out of the postgame like, specifically, he said Michael Porter Jr.'s name without saying Michael Porter Jr. And then said, but everybody's effort stunk. We've got a terrible home stretch. Played bad in games one and game two. A little lucky to be 1-1. And I thought, they're going to come out, and just, at some point, they're going to just ram somebody one of these two games in Miami. I think we got one. It took them a while to get there with a big third quarter, but they got there. I expect Miami to be guns a-blazing, and they're so weird to predict that who knows? I mean, they could be down 3-1 and go win one in Denver, and you're back here again and playing that game. After what I saw at Heat Celtics, that Miami's kind of unpredictable in that regard. But I whatever they've got, they're going to throw the kitchen sink and a couple toaster ovens at these guys and kind of see what happens, because – you go to Denver when they're right with the altitude and everything else on a short turnaround. The Nuggets are also really good on a short turnaround, and I don't think they want to go back to Denver playing for their lives. The Heat, I don't think they want that at all.
It really just feels like it's five or six at this point with respect to the Heat, because you got to give them mad respect for making it to the finals as an eight seed, right? But in the time that we have left, Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, our guest right now for just a couple more minutes on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Follow Sean on Twitter, at Sean Keeler. I'd caught wind, seen online that like a day or two ago, that leadership at the University of Colorado was going to be meeting as the smoke continues to billow about specifically either Colorado and or Arizona being next up to potentially leave the Pac-12 and join the Big 12, Sean. Obviously, I'm sure you're still plugged in on this. Meanwhile, you're in South Beach and doing the NBA Finals thing. So what, if anything, can you tell us? Because this is kind of what's filled the calendar now in June. You know, besides the NBA, for so many of our audience right now, they watch this as close as anything in June and July. What does conference realignment look like? A lot of Big 12 fans here, obviously, with Iowa State. Yeah. What, if anything, can you tell us about where things stand?
Well, and we're on high alert now because the last two fiscal ends of June 30th have been just been monumental shifts.
Yep.
That again, you had the OU Texas June, and now you've had the USC UCLA June. I was I told you I was at the Avalanche parade covering that when my phone that second one was an absolute out of the blue. On the day when the Big Ten puts their kind of new scheduling thing out today, I know to see USC and UCLA leave. I mean, I like fell over walking downtown Denver and this. Watching street sweepers clean up, and I'm like, wah! I'm like, oh my god, what is going on with Pac-12? What is happening with CU? The president and I are playing a game of chicken right now, which is my at least as far as interview and talking, and that gets my radar, my rabbit ears up, like, huh? And a go-between said to me, he doesn't feel he would only be adding speculation for something he cannot speak on definitively, or worse to that effect, which is a bunch of hokum, in words I can't say on radio. But that's fine, but it also makes me more suspicious of where this lands, because they can see the temperature increasing on a couple levels there. I mean, the pros and cons, ultimately, for both CU and Arizona, it's going to be about what's the best financial situation in a 5 to 10 year window.
Yep.
And I think it's just about money, because where the Pac-12 is at with the Big 12 of comparing the two, it's just sort of like, well, where do I want to be in 5 years, and who do I trust if he's left? I just can't think, even now after looking at the Big Ten scheduling, that I don't know that you can necessarily be done with USC and UCLA. I just got to think Oregon and Washington are making that plea to get that pod going. I just don't think it's done. It just doesn't make – I mean, there's a lot of things the Big Ten have done that don't make sense, like Legends of the Leaders and to a line or any nothing. It's a long show that way. I don't think – I know this. I don't think culturally and academically CU wants to go to the Big 12. They probably want to go back to Ames. The professors don't. The chancellor doesn't. But – Brett Yormark is swinging a bigger stick right now, and he's got what the Pac-12 doesn't have for certain, and that is the Big Two and ESPN and Fox money. I can go back and say, look, this is guaranteed, and I have a clause that if I get more teams, I won't have to reduce my payout necessarily if I get someone as big as CU in Arizona or alternatively UConn if you want to go that route.
Yeah, I think the last thing I'll leave you with is, if I am Brett Yormark and I'm going to negotiate a media rights deal, I like my leverage a lot more, maybe not a lot more, but a good amount more, if I just am able to slide in Coach Prime and Colorado football into that package. That's worth a decent chunk, man.
It is worth it, but that's a short-term buy for reasons we've been over.
Of course, but all that matters is you negotiate that deal while Prime is there. That's all that matters.
Yep. Oh, believe me. See, the irony is, with all this, and this is a great note to walk away on it, although I'll throw you another, CU football will never be as sexy as it is right now.
Exactly.
They'll probably be 4-8. They'll probably be some, it's not going to be great this fall.
Yeah.
But it's now all about the honeymoon and the possibilities. We are at the apex of the honeymoon. And politically, if you're CU, and even if you're jockeying with the Pac-12, because they're not going to have equal revenue, probably, which CU does not like and did not like in the old Big 12, ironically.
Yep.
And now they're staring at it again because Oregon and Washington are going, hey, they literally have a room of guys going, why should I stay? Why should I stay? What do you love about this? And then it becomes a den of thieves and vipers, and they're all pointing stuff at each other, and away you go. So I know they don't like that either as much as they like culturally and academically being in the Pac-12. But, yeah, it's we're ready, though. We're braced for anything after these last two summers. We get it coming. I can't believe you didn't ask me about Monte Morris being here.
I know. I guess shame on me. I had no idea.
Yeah. We missed him, but he was here on the floor. I've never seen Jokic that happy as when you suddenly saw Monte Morris standing behind the bench.
It was I'll be damned.
Someone, you look at that on Twitter, there's got to be someone who's going to edit that to, like, the music from Say Anything or something. Love story stuff.
If you're a big man, you see a point guard who's got a 7-1 assist-to-turnover ratio, how are you not going to smile?
Just know, my wife has never looked at me the way that Nikola Jokic looks at Monte Morris.
Okay.
Just never.
There's a great walk-off. Hey, there you go. Yeah. There you go, Cyclone fans.
Especially because she's not listening.
How dare you make that assumption?
Well, but to be fair, she doesn't listen to me when I'm talking either, so.
Oh, okay. All right, Sean, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time, and we'll continue to read your coverage of the NBA Finals at DenverPost.com. Take care, my brother.
Thank you, sir. See ya. Bye-bye.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, kind enough to join us on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side. We got some audio to get to. Brock Purdy, former Iowa Hawkeyes, Tristan Wirfs, and Riley Moss. Maybe a little more if time permits. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Former Iowa State quarterback Brock Purdy says he's right on track following offseason elbow surgery. Purdy replaced injured quarterbacks Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo and led the San Francisco 49ers to 5 straight regular season wins before suffering the injury early in a loss in the NFC Championship game. He's resumed throwing a few times each week and hopes to make steady progress.
We've just been taking it, you know, from what the physical therapist, the surgeon, what they've said, what it looks like with guys that they've worked on, like, hey, this is like the next step, and we've just been following the plan, and really it's just how your arm feels on a day-to-day basis and a week-to-week basis, and you go from there and you make decisions from there. So that's just where we're at.
In 8 starts last season, Purdy threw for 16 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions. The Iowa Cubs look to snap a 5-game losing skid tonight. They continue an International League series in St. Paul. This is Radio Iowa.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Summer is here, and it's time to get fit at the YMCA. Try one of the 40-plus fitness classes per week to get your heart rate up, burn some calories, and have fun. Let one of our certified fitness instructors lead you through a fun, motivational exercise routine that will meet your fitness goals through a variety of styles, strength, cardio, yoga, water, and more. Get fit at the YMCA, where we build strong kids, strong families, and strong communities.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash, it's your time to shine.
Why go to a monument company
Black Hawk Memorial helps you preserve your cherished memories. Their showroom includes upright memorials, ground-level markers, vases, and more, all made in Northeast Iowa. All work and quality control is done in-house. See what you buy before making a purchase at Black Hawk Memorial Showroom at 5325 University Avenue in Cedar Falls, or call 319-266-0282. Black Hawk Memorial, where quality prevails.
Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650, The Fan.
I feel good. Arm is feeling good. So to say I'm going to be ready by this time or this time, I just, you know, we're not trying to label any kind of timeline like that. For sure, though, like that's a goal, right? To you want to be ready for, you know, the season. And if that's the case, great. But like I said, we're just taking it one day at a time and don't want to say anything that, you know, we regret.
That's the latest from former Iowa State standout quarterback Brock Purdy on his rehab from Tommy John surgery this offseason with the San Francisco 49ers. Purdy has resumed throwing a few times each week and says that he's hoping to continue to make steady progress.
We've just been taking it, you know, from what the physical therapist, the surgeon, what they've said, what it looks like with guys that they've worked on, like, hey, this is like the next step, and we've just been following the plan, and really it's just how your arm feels on a day-to-day basis and a week-to-week basis, and you go from there and you make decisions from there. So that's just where we're at.
So there you have it, the latest on Brock Purdy. Went long with Sean Keeler in that last segment, so we're going to take the final timeout now. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Roger Klinkfuss, owner and operator of Metro Transmission in Waterloo, Iowa. I like rebuilding transmissions. I've been doing it for many, many years. Just a challenge to do them and put them in, and they work properly, and that's satisfying. We do any kind of auto repair other than tires, body work, or painting, any mechanical work we do. Most of my customers are word of mouth, and they have to trust that you're going to do a good job for a reasonable price.
Trust Metro Transmission. Mission and Auto Repair on the corner of 10th and Jefferson, Waterloo.
The Midwest is the heart of our nation. We are farmers, small business owners, friends, neighbors, and families. For generations, we have fed our country and fueled our economy, and we're not slowing down anytime soon. How do we continue to grow markets, create jobs, support agriculture, and make it sustainable? By adopting carbon capture technologies that deliver lasting benefits to our farmers, businesses, and local communities. The Smart Carbon Network is committed to smart, safe, and economically sound carbon management and preserving the promise of agriculture for the future. Here in the Midwest, we've always been good stewards of our land and natural resources. Carbon capture gives us an opportunity to keep growing responsibly, with farmers and local communities leading the way. Visit smartcarbonnetwork.com to learn more.
Cedar Falls High School graduating seniors, the Cedar Falls School District extends its sincerest congratulations to you and your families. You've successfully navigated all of the challenges of your education and made some great memories. Cedar Falls High School graduates, choose wisely the path upon which you forge ahead. You graduates are the future. We couldn't be prouder. The Cedar Falls School District would also like to take this opportunity to honor its retirees and service recognition recipients. Chuck Anderson, Karen Becker, Lori Boyer, Joe Carney, Kim Cross, Lori Engel, and more. Your overarching emphasis on service, philanthropy, and creativity inside and outside of the classroom are sources of humble pride for all of us. Thank you so much for your dedicated service to the Cedar Falls Schools. Great work. Thank you, one and all. Enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Nikola Jokic isn't your average NBA superstar. He's not pulling up for the logo like Steph Curry. He's not going to wow you in transition like prime Russell Westbrook. He's not going to have the highlight reel dunks like Giannis. We all still know the Joker is special. But without those highlights, the big man's greatness is often overlooked. But when you look at what he has done so far in the postseason, we may be witnessing one of the greatest playoff runs in NBA history. As it stands today, he's averaging over 30, 13, and
10 assists throughout the playoffs. And to make his performance even more impressive, he's done that while shooting over 54% from the floor and 47% from three. Not to mention, he led the Nuggets past two of this generation's greatest players in LeBron and Kevin Durant. And although it appears the big man could care less about these personal achievements, that level of greatness certainly deserves to be recognized. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match.
Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650, The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Thursday. Got to thank Sean Keeler of the Denver Post for joining today's show. If you missed any of it, it'll be available shortly in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. Coming up later tonight here on The Fan, Cubs baseball series finale in Los Angeles against the Angels. Pre-game coverage begins at 8, first pitch at 8:35. Drew Smyly on the bump tonight for the Cubs. Listen to Mark Simpson tomorrow morning, maximum mornings between 6 and 8. I am back tomorrow at 5. Be joined by a special guest at 5:15. AJ Green, the Milwaukee Buck himself, former Cedar Falls and UNI standout, joining us tomorrow on the show. So look forward to that. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.